Implosion, a memoir of an architect's daughter by Elizabeth Garber, is a disturbing autobiography about the family life of the modern architect Woody Garber. Woody Garber designed a number of projects in Cincinnati, including the main library's building downtown at 8th and Vine, as well as UC Sander Hall and private homes. With me on the phone is Woody Garber's daughter, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Your father was a bit of a dictator, wasn't he, and seems to have followed the quote in the book, "Modern was truth and simplicity, and it follows rules."
Yes, the aesthetics and modern design sort of was the god of our household, and he knew what was right and what was wrong, and we had to follow strict rules of what was okay with being modernist.
And your father was, it seems, mentally disturbed with a borderline personality disorder, bipolar, a sex addict, an abusive parent, but also a brilliant architect. Your life with him must have been difficult with all these components coming together.
It was both difficult and amazing. If you've ever known someone who's just extraordinarily brilliant and excited and enthusiastic, but then could flip on a dime and be destructive and hurtful, there are times that were both thrilling and I learned so much. I learned so much about architecture and art. And then other times were just so hurtful and took a long time to recover from.
Share some of your stories about your childhood, including your family's Victorian home and where that was, as well as the Nantucket house your father designed, the upside-down house.
So we grew up in Glendale and grew up in a house where my father's mother had moved in the 1880s when she was three. So in a way, we lived in this very old-fashioned world and walked to school and walked to the library. And life went fairly well when we were living in that old-fashioned house. And then when I was starting to be in junior high and in the mid-60s, my father had been designing this modern house for us to live in, and that was his dream, that we would live in this beautiful glass house. So we started building it. And what we didn't know was that was the end of our childhood. So I was 12 and my brothers were 3 and 6 years younger. And from then on, there wasn't playtime, there was work time. And we moved into an unfinished shell of a house. And we worked with my dad and a carpenter every weekend. And then we worked all summer. And once the house was finished, and we worked on the cabinets and framing out the house inside. And then once the house was all settled in inside, then there was this huge job of landscaping the several acres around the house. And my dad had huge dreams of creating Japanese gardens and building a terrace that was constructed of huge granite cobblestones from down in the city when they were tearing out build cobblestone streets with urban renewal. So there were all these huge projects and ideas he had, and we were the workers. We weren't allowed to go play with our friends or do things that kids wanted to until all the work was done. We became a working crew, and he would brag about that. It was 5 years of our life, but that adding up on his kids, it was 15 years of labor of ours that went into finishing these beautiful gardens. And they're still extraordinary, and the house is extraordinary, and I'm really glad it's well cared for. It just came at a cost.
Did he design the Nantucket upside-down house before the Garber house?
Yes, that was designed in the early 50s, and it was a really simple summer house. It was designed for friends of his from Cincinnati, the Klausmeyers, and he designed their home in Indian Hill, which is a beautiful glass house. And then he built this very much simpler, really great house to live in, a little cottage on Nantucket.
And the Garber house in Glendale was furnished with a lot of modern pieces like the Eames chair and ottoman, the Knoll lounge chairs, and a Saran and Wood chair. Do any of these pieces remain in the family? And what is your current home in Maine like? Is it modern?
No, it's not. I inherited the Eames chair and the Wood chair, and my kids grew up with them. They've sort of worn out, and they're down in a barn right now. And the Bertoria sculptures were divided between each of us and our family, and a number of them are in museums. It's interesting, after having lived in such an exquisite modern house in Maine, you almost don't even know modern houses are there. They are. There's some beautiful modern houses along the coast or in different places, but I live in a town of 6,000 people, and it's a very old-fashioned place. And so I live in a main cape, and I like sort of homey, cozy American vernacular architecture. I've lived in a variety of houses, and I lived in a beautiful, austere modern house. I haven't felt the need to do that again.
How did your travels to Paris, Miami, Panama, and California help distance yourself from your father's issues?
What was interesting is the first place I went to live after I left home, well, I was first on a ship, and then I went and lived in France. And I was still so much in being connected to my dad and my dad's interests that when I had time off from school, what I did is I went and looked at architectural buildings of his teacher. He adored the work of Le Corbusier, the French architect. So I went to see these favorite buildings of his, of Corbusier's in different parts of France. But once I got to college and sort of discovered what was important to me rather than what was important to my dad, that I started to be able to have some separation. And I got interested in classics and the Odyssey. And then I realized 30 or 40 years later when I was working on my book that my father was really like it. An Odyssean hero. So in a way, I was still working out my father's story. And then I went and lived in California, and I was a renovation carpenter for a number of years. And then I discovered acupuncture, and acupuncture brought me out of a long depression and exhaustion. And that really turned my life around and helped me get over being depressed and made me realize that having grown up with someone who wrestled with mental illness, my dad, that what was most important to me was to help people who were suffering with depression and mental instability. So I've been practicing acupuncture 33 years, and I am so grateful that I have a skill that can help people get steady and get their life together. And it's helped me with my whole healing process to heal from this childhood. So I'm very grateful. My travels led me to this. And I love living in a little town in Maine, which is actually in some ways a lot like Glendale. It's just a New England version of a small village.
Completing the circle, you and your mother returned in 2011 to the Nantucket Upside Down House that Woody designed. Tell us about that trip down memory lane, and did it bring some kind of closure?
It did. Because when I first started working on the book, my mother said, "Why are you writing about that horrible, horrible man?" And she said, "You know, I'll never read the book." And I said, "Well, I had a different relationship with my dad. As the oldest, he and I shared so much about art and architecture. And being the oldest, I got the better time in their marriage, and I got the better time with my dad than my younger brothers did. So I wanted to write about that." And once she understood that, she became much more supportive of the project. And then when I came back to Cincinnati and was doing research on the book, and then when I was writing different sections, I would ask her questions and share different things I was understanding or putting together. And when I came back from Cincinnati and I had looked at these different houses that my dad had designed, she said, "You know what, my absolute favorite is the house on Nantucket." And she said, "You're going to have to go there for the book, and I'm going to go with you." That she initiated that, and then she was so excited, and we had just such a lovely time going there. And we met up with two UC professors that had been involved in studying my dad's work, and we just had such a lovely time going back to that house. And she said, "I just had good memories from being there." And so it was so healing to go back there, remember what had been so good and loving and healing to be there. And it was such a special way to be with my mom. And she now lives 5 minutes away from me. So if she read the final version of the book, she's going to come to my book release, and she's been a real supporter.
And your two brothers are up on the East Coast also, aren't they?
Right. One brother's in New Hampshire and one's in Boston. And they both answered a lot of questions. And even though it was pretty painful to face a lot of the family stories, they actually have done a lot of healing on their own from the process of my doing this book, and they're writing out answers for me. So I think it's been a good process for our family.
And you have three appearances coming up here in Cincinnati later this month. One of them will be in Glendale at the Meritage Restaurant on Tuesday, June 26th. The next night, June 27th, you'll be signing books with a presentation at the Downtown Public Library at 7 o'clock. And that's a building that your dad built in 1950. And
right.
Finally, on Thursday, June 28th, you'll be at the Mercantile Library for a 6:30 reception and 7 o'clock program, including a reading from your book. So there are lots of chances for our listeners to meet you and hear about your father's devotion to that modern aesthetic. So, Elizabeth, thanks for sharing this story about your family.
Thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to coming back to Cincinnati.
I've been in conversation with Elizabeth Garber about her book, Implosion, a memoir of an architect's daughter. You'll find a link for her appearances and the book at wvxu.org/around Cincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.